We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
If you didn't know, now you know. Winning on the road in conference play, it's not that easy. Welcome to another Women's Hoops edition of College Sports Now. Rob Joyce joined as always by Megan Gower. Wild last 7 days of basketball. Wild Thursday night as we record on a Friday morning. And Megan, I have two simple questions for you. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
One, how are you?
I'm good.
That was easy, right?
Yep.
Secondly, who's the best team in the ACC?
I have no idea.
Another loaded show. Here's the rundown. We'll recap everything that's happened since we last spoke last Friday. Bunch of games coming up this weekend as well. That should whet the appetite, especially tonight and Sunday. We might even get you primed for a little South Carolina LSU next Thursday, perhaps. But we have to start with a quiet Thursday in the Atlantic Coast Conference that started with NC State going to Coral Gables and pretty much going wire to wire in a loss to Miami. And then you go up to the JMA Dome these days, RIP Carrier Dome. Florida State's up 18 on Syracuse until they're not and took that L. And then Virginia Tech, they lost Georgia Amor. They weren't going anyways in a loss at Cameron Indoor to Duke. Megan, which of those games you want to start with?
Let's start with the NC State one, because perhaps that was the most surprising, I would say, of the bunch. I thought NC State was the best team in the ACC. I don't know that I'm overall convinced anymore.
They've lost 2 out of 3, still no River Baldwin. Canes pick up a marquee when they needed. Were you more surprised by NC State, or were you more impressed by Miami?
I think surprised by NC State, obviously impressed by Miami, and that's going to go a long way for the Hurricanes that are kind of sitting on the bubble right now to getting in the field come March. But, I mean, the defense from NC State, I think it was 3 players on Miami had 18 points. It was just, the defense was concerning.
NCAA, it's 9:03 Friday morning. Got up that rankings, man. Miami coming in was 44th. I'd imagine they would take not a significant jump, but certainly a big enough jump where a March this win could matter. I guess the Wolfpack miss River Baldwin, one of those freshmen that we didn't really talk about last week. She's not lighting it up scoring wise, but she doesn't have to. I think her impact is felt, her absence is felt for the Wolfpack.
Yeah, I think they're missing her, and I thought it was evident in that Virginia Tech game, but I mean, they lost by 1 point on the road at Virginia Tech. That's not a bad loss. This one, I'm like, oof, this is a tough loss for them.
I don't want to overreact. Really, the theme of the show for me is I don't want to overreact to one game. I mean, just look who lost this last week. Miami lost, Florida State lost, Virginia Tech lost all on the road. Baylor lost on the road, Texas lost on the road, albeit to K-State. Indiana lost on the road, albeit Iowa. UCLA lost on the road. Stanford lost on the road. LSU lost on the road. Virginia Tech, Marquette, Iowa State. You get the idea. it's hard to win on the road. So I don't want to overreact to one game. I mean, NC State, they're Elizabeth Kitley game winner away from being 16-1. So I don't want to crush them for losing one conference road game. But Duke on Sunday, don't slip up against Clemson, Boston College. You get Baldwin back for February. The real test, in theory, occurs then. I want to see NC State go 3-0 or 4-0, however many games they have left until February.
Yeah, agreed. I think you can't overreact to one game. I agree. And like I said, I'm not at all concerned about that Virginia Tech loss, but you can't make it a trend now for the next month. That's when you start to get into trouble.
Syracuse, Florida State, chronologically next. I've got to be honest. Seminoles, they were down after a quarter. They go on a big run in the second quarter. They're up 18. And I started working out a theory of, I don't think it's a Final Four team, but I was going to say coming in, yeah, I think they might be the best team in the ACC. And all these reasons, all this great grand stuff, and then by, 9:30 Eastern, I threw it all out the window.
Yeah. I'm less concerned about Florida State in this game and more impressed with Syracuse. I think that's their second, maybe I'm forgetting one, really good conference win. They had that win over Notre Dame. Now they have the one over Florida State. I think they're definitely a team that's climbing right now in terms of they look really good. Deja Fair has been fantastic for them, and it feels like it's kind of coming together at the right time. They've got some pretty solid wins on their resume. The only loss so far in ACC play is that North Carolina loss on the road, not a bad loss. So this is a team I'm impressed with so far in the ACC and what they're doing.
That Deja Fair shot. I thought Florida State, they were up two with 2-3 minutes to go. And I thought they were okay. And then Fair hit that 30 footer with a hand in her face. And it was a swish. And it's like, okay, maybe it's not Florida State's night. No, Fair's great. They're two similar profile teams. Like that's the kind of game you would expect when Florida State and Syracuse play. Not a whole lot of defense. They're fun to watch. Don't look now. Louisville's the only unbeaten left in the ACC, but Syracuse and is it North Carolina with one loss?
I think so.
They're right there. And then because Virginia Tech lost again, lost to Florida State on Sunday, I think the secret is out on how to beat the Hokies. Hopefully Georgia Amor's okay. She didn't play most of the second half. Hopefully she's not out for an extended period. I think opponents realize, all right, we'll let Liz Kitley get 25 and 15. We'll just dare everyone else to beat us.
Right. Yeah, I think without them having someone step up, opponents are going to continue to do that. And someone needs to kind of step up and be that third scoring option in addition to Kitley and Amor. And without that, yeah, we're going to see, I think, a lot of the same recipe to take them down. And I don't know. I feel like it's kind of late in the season for someone to make that big jump. I think if we were going to see that, not that it can't happen still, but usually someone's starting to kind of prove to be that option by this time.
I feel like we had a similar conversation last year. What's the big difference between this year and last year's team? Someone like a Taylor Soule that important, and maybe we just didn't recognize it?
Yeah, I think so. I think having consistent, even if they're only averaging 9, 10, 12 points a game, the consistency of that is where it's key. And I feel like that's what this team is missing, is that those kind of other options being consistent at night in and night out.
Okay, we'll wrap up ACC chat because those are most of last night's results. Again, Louisville, the only undefeated team in the ACC, now 5-0. North Carolina, Syracuse are both 5-1. I feel like Louisville's kind of flown under the radar. Here they are now ranked 13th. They're sitting in first in the ACC. What's their best win? They haven't really beaten anyone in ACC play at Miami, although ask how NC State how that went. Hammered Duke, took care of business against Pitt, Wake Forest, and Clemson. They'll get tested this weekend at North Carolina. What's your take on Louisville, a team that I think is okay? I don't know if they're the 13th best team in the country.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they look as they get into some of these tougher ACC games. Jeff Walls always does a good job, and the team made up with so many kind of new pieces and transfers, it's bound to take time for it to come together. I also don't know that I'm sold on them being 13th in the country. I think back to that UConn game where they just, yes, on the road, but like really couldn't hang with UConn at all. So I'm not sure I'm sold on 13th in the country, but I also think it's going to keep getting better from now until March with the way Jeff Walls usually has these teams rolling with the transfers as the season goes on. So I think there's someone to keep an eye on.
I don't need to chisel this in stone. Right now, January 19th, who do you think is the conference's best team?
I still think it's NC State. I'm not two games or really one game because I don't, like I said, I don't think anything of the Virginia Tech loss, like one game doesn't change that yet. If it's a couple more that they lose, then you start getting worried.
I think at this time last year, we said in the ACC, there were no Final Four teams except maybe Virginia Tech. And it turns out we were wrong. Virginia Tech was a Final Four team. I think you can pretty much say the same thing this year, except swap Virginia Tech with NC State. Is that fair? Yeah. Like, I don't think anyone's going to the Final Four, but if it's anyone, it's probably them.
Yeah, that's how I feel very much about this conference right now. It's a bunch of teams that are probably going to make the second weekend, but not make it past that.
Fair enough. Last night was kind of a capper on fairly wild week. Do you want to go Wednesday? Do you want to go takeaways from last weekend? Because I do have some thoughts. I know LSU's played since. The Pac-12 hasn't played since. But LSU's loss at Auburn was probably the highlight of the last week, or if you're a Tigers fan, a low light. Again, one game, it's not a good loss in pretty much any light, eye test wise, metrics wise, but I don't want to overreact to one game. But what were your takeaways from LSU Sunday, and then took care of business in the second half last night after trailing in the first half at Alabama?
Yeah, I think I agree. Like, overarching theme is not to overreact to one game. For LSU, I think I react a little bit more just because we haven't really seen them play anyone in a while. And then to have Auburn, a team that, you know, hadn't won a conference game yet, come beat them on the road, it raises a little bit of a concern for me for LSU. And have they really kind of come as far as maybe as we thought they did? So I'm a little worried about where they're at. I think we'll learn obviously a lot more, and we're going to talk about it later, that South Carolina game coming up. I thought they responded really well last night, though, at Alabama. They were, you know, down 1 point at the half. Alabama was really kind of taking it to them, I thought, to start that game. And then they were able to use that third quarter to really just open things up. And Angel Reese and Anise Mora were a big part of that and really just kind of put the game away in that third quarter. So I thought that was a nice response to not make it, you know, two losses on the road or having it come down against the bump to the buzzer against Alabama again. It was a nice response last night against a team. Alabama's probably a tournament team, so a decent opponent.
Whether you either love LSU or you hate them, it seems, there's not really any neutrals, and the prospect of them staring down a second straight loss to an unranked team, albeit on the road, like, you could see Twitter licking its chops, waiting to pounce. It's really hard to go unbeaten, either through conference play or, you know, the number of teams we see go unbeaten, period, is dwindling. We haven't had one since, what, Stewie's last year, UConn? No one's gone undefeated since, right? So, you know, you're going to see more of this. Sure, you know, think of the men's side. If Georgia beats Kentucky at home, like, it's not, like, it's newsworthy, but it's not like, oh, my God, what happened?
Right.
It's kind of where we're growing into the women's game now, where we talked last week, that depth of teams, what, 20 through 75? Mm-hmm. Like, 5 years ago, team number 70 in the net, like, they're not going to touch LSU or any of these top teams. And largely, well, you know, 8-9 times out of 10, they don't. That one extra time, they can now. That's just more common. The things that concern me, though, with LSU, the turnovers, they average, what, 16 a game? That won't cut it. And then the three-point shooting, they're really, really similar to South Carolina last year in terms of percentage of their points that come from three. They're third to last nationally. They're 311th in makes per game. Again, similar to South Carolina last year. The difference is, well, LSU's defense is not what South Carolina's defense was last year. It's not close. And you saw what happened, you know, again, 39 out of 40 times, like, just dominating inside with Reese and Morrow. That's good enough. But the one time that it isn't, and those points in the paint are harder to come by, ask South Carolina last year. That's the closest profile. It just took one game. They got. So those are my concerns with LSU, is that if you're not going to, three-pointers are worth more than two-pointers. That's why teams are trending to either threes or in the paint largely. If you're not going to take threes, that just it just lowers your margin of error. That's all. And LSU has a pretty big margin of error.
Right. I think they got to find a way to get Haley Redlith going. I think that's probably the key for this team. If they can figure that out, they're going to be in a lot better spot than they are right now, even with the defense not being quite at the level. I think the Kim Mulkey probably would like it to be if they can find a way to get Haley Redlith going on the perimeter and just on the offense in general. I think that's going to change the game for them.
Game on the line on Sunday. Are you surprised that the play is, yes, Angel Reese is your best player, but have her go ISO from midcourt one-on-one? Like that, I thought that was a choice.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen Kim Mulkey run that play before. Someone actually texted me and was like, that's exactly what she did in like Baylor's like Elite Eight loss to UConn a few years back with
maybe a foul.
That play. So maybe not entirely surprised, but I didn't think it was the best play. I would have liked to see something a little different, but
yeah. Right, like get the ball in her hands, that's fine, but set her up.
Right.
Even the high post, have her low block, dribbling. Right. One-on-one from the elbow, like, sure, I'll take Angel Reese more times than not. That all that said, LSU's probably going to be a three seed again, and no one's going to want to see him in their bracket. Exactly. Like, even if they lose three more games, that's probably too many, but say they lose three, like, the name alone are going to scare people. By the way, Auburn lost at Vanderbilt last night, so the Tigers are now 1-4. They're not close to the tournament picture, right?
No.
Resident bracketologist.
They are not. Vandy is, though. I'm
yeah, Commodores. That was an ugly first quarter and a half. It was 10-9 midway through the second, but they'll count the same. Vanderbilt, looking at their, I mean, they didn't play anybody in the non-conference. They played NC State as the ACC-SEC challenge. Lost by 8. Lost by 2 to a okay Missouri team. So the margin of error, I'd imagine, isn't big, but are they flirting?
I think they're flirting with making the field for sure. I think as long as they, you know, pick up some more of these SEC wins that they can get, they've got a really good shot at being in the field. I know they're like getting votes in the poll. I don't think they're like a top 25 team, but I think they've got a good shot at making the field. When at Tennessee this week, you definitely have a really good shot. That's a big ask, but I think they've got a shot. I don't know. That's a good question. Is it a big ask? It'd be a good win. They only have South Carolina and LSU once also, so that helps them. Got a little bit of the easier SEC schedule.
They play Tennessee twice, obviously home and away. They head to Colonial Life. I don't think it matters where that game's played.
Yeah.
This Alabama at home, those are, like you mentioned, like 7-8 seeds. Like, those are gettable at home. Mm-hmm. Georgia's not very good on the road. Texas A&M's decent. That trip to Arkansas. Arkansas's on the bubble, right? Or are they in right now?
They're on the bubble, but they're definitely – I don't have them in. They have that, like, one really bad loss to, like, Arkansas Pine Bluff or some school that you're like, what is this?
Efforting. I'll find it. Lost to Marquette, lost to UCLA. Lost to Arkansas.
That one. That's like, what's going on there? They might sneak their way back in if they do well in the SEC, but that one hurts.
Still, I mean, it's been, three games in the conference since we spoke. Any, like South Carolina, obviously, they're South Carolina, LSU, whatever you think of them, they're going to be, top 2-3 seed? Mm-hmm. Anyone else in the SEC move the needle for you?
No, not really.
Simple enough.
Just being honest, yeah.
That's fine. You know what will move the needle? Everybody in the Pac-12.
Yes.
Last weekend, we start with the team alone in first place. Colorado, you and I both said they were probably ranked too high, and then they went out, and it was at home, but swept Stanford and Cal. More importantly, Stanford. Are you more of a believer in the Buffs?
I haven't changed my opinion, honestly. Okay. I still think they're a hard place. It's always been a hard place to play, right? People always complain about the elevation and whatever. I don't know how true that is, but it's probably has some effect. And also, like we've said, winning on the road, conference play is hard. I'm interested to see what they do when they go on the road.
I believe them more than I did last Friday. I mean, they're not going to go undefeated. No one.
No one's going undefeated in the Pac-12. If someone does, they need to be the overall number one seed of the tournament.
Yes. If Colorado wins out and goes into the field, 30-whatever-1, I will gladly take the loss and say, yes, they're the best team in the country.
Yeah.
But to hold Stanford to 59, holding to 18 points in the paint with that duo inside, they forced a bunch of turnovers, and they did it on a day when Freda Foreman shot 3 of 14. That's what's most promising to me, is that the defense looked like last year's defense. And to some extent, the offense looked like last year's offense, but I know better than that now. And if you can beat a team like Stanford when one of your best players goes 3 of 14, color me impressed.
Yeah, they've got the whole picture. I'm still not the, I think they're top five. I think they're definitely a top 10 team, though.
They are now, her hoop stats, they were like 17th last week, I think. They're 15th now in the composite ranking, so they had a little bump. Takeaways on the Stanford side, again, just one game on the road, tough place to play. Had a nice win over Utah a couple of days before that. Lack of scoring behind Brink and Irfan concerns me a little bit.
Yeah. Again, though, one game. I'm not against a good team, too, on the road.
Yeah.
I don't think that much of it. Like we said, no one's making it through this Pac-12 schedule unscathed.
Yeah, that's fair. I just, off my forehand to jump, that's fine. I know that she'll get the 12 points you were talking about earlier. I want to see LaPolo score a little bit more. I know it's not her role, but she averages like less than 5 points a game. Just make it like 8. And then I like Brooke Dimitri as weapon off the bench. And I think the freshman, Aguera, I like her. I think she has a nice little future. But they're going to lose some games, just like the team that allegedly going to USC and losing in a close game without maybe your best player starting on the bench sick. Drops from 2 to 5. I know that doesn't sit well with you that UCLA dropped so long for one loss.
Yeah, I can't roll my eyes enough at that in the poll, honestly. Like, it's just, that game does nothing to change my opinion that UCLA is the second best team in the country, especially considering you have a sick Lauren Betts that's coming off the bench. And I know, I think USC was without Ray Marshall too, so they were shorthanded too, but like we've said over and over again, like, teams are going to lose games in this conference, to lose against a top 10 team on the road and have that be your only loss this year. Like, that doesn't say to me, oh my God, this is no longer the second best team in the country. I wouldn't have moved them at all. And they won't move at all, I think, from a bracket perspective. I think resume-wise, they still look like the second best team in the country.
So you have teams ranked 3rd, 5th, 6th, and 8th. Utah dipped down to 20th. Utah, I think, is what it is. A team that can score occasionally, especially if Alyssa Peely has her A game. The defensive deficiencies are still there. Are they lining up to be like, what, probably a 4 or 5 seed? Like that could be a scary-ish 4 or 5 seed, assuming they take care of business. Like, if you're a Sweet 16 team and that's the 5 seed you're playing, I'd be alarmed. Ask South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. That's not someone I would want as the 5 seed in my region if I saw the bracket. You don't want anything to do with Alyssa Peely as a 5 seed.
Yeah. And then, USC, one more note. Obviously, like, Juju's great. She gets a ton of headlines. 16 of 16 from the free throw line. That's wild. I want to talk Mackenzie Forbes, because I think, like, that's a transfer. Like, when I saw it on the portal, I don't remember seeing it on the portal. Like, it didn't.
Yeah. Didn't
register as being that big a deal. Can't say I followed a whole lot of Harvard basketball last year, and she wasn't a mid-major scorer who averaged 25 and then is going to the Pac-12. Like, her numbers this year are pretty much on par with last year, and obviously that's a step up in competition. Like, that might be the most underrated get out of the portal.
Yeah, great. I think it's always really impressive when someone can come in and replicate what they were doing at the mid-major level at the power conference level, and then I would say especially in like the Pac-12 this year. That's even more impressive considering just how good this conference is. So yeah, huge get for them. And I mean, Harvard's been good, right? The Ivy League is a top mid-major conference, but for her, like, for transfers from those leagues to be on the radar is like going to make a huge difference. They're usually averaging, like you said, 25 points a game, and that wasn't the case for her. So it's impressive to see her kind of make this jump and contribute in the same way at such a high level of play.
Is Lindsay Gottlieb your coach of the year right now?
I mean, maybe. I don't think everyone knew Juju Watkins was going to be good. I don't think anyone thought they were going to be this good. I feel like Dawn Staley's going to win Coach of the Year, though.
I'm always torn.
And rightfully so, honestly. I don't think everyone thought South Carolina was going to be this good either.
That's fair. I'm torn with Coach of the Year. I like, in theory, give it to the team that is surprising folks. But then at the same time, if I go 10 or 12 years and I don't see the names Dawn Staley or Gina Auriemma or Kim Mulkey, it's like, all right. At some point in time, they're the best coaches in the country for a reason. So, yeah, I'm a little torn on that. But either way, Lindsay Gottlieb has done a great job. And, yeah, the future's bright for future Big Ten power USC.
I hate that so much.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The only other major news from the week, I thought, you want to talk some Big 12? Because, again, kind of like the ACC, I don't know what to make of the league. Again, hard to win on the road. You saw K-State slip past Texas over the weekend. Iowa State beats Baylor at home, and then Texas Tech hits a billion threes on them in Lubbock, and they go to Texas Tech and lose. Kind of like the ACC, I think there are a good number of pretty good teams. I don't think there's a Final Four caliber team.
No. People might get annoyed with me for saying that, because I feel like people think Kansas State can be that. I'm not sold at all on Kansas State being a top, honestly, 10 team. I don't think they're quite there.
So why not?
It's just the defense, number one. And I know, and Aoka Lee is really good, but I don't think she's Caitlin Clark good and can carry this team to a Final Four good. I'm just not sold. I think they also haven't played anyone other than Iowa, which I think just matchup wise is a good matchup.
So the defensive metrics, couple ways to look at it. They're top 10 her hoop stats, they're top 10 scoring defense nationally. And I'm looking at the schedule. They held Iowa to 65 and 77. All things considered, that's pretty good. Obviously, they split with the Hawkeyes. Boy, they just... Until they play Texas, they haven't played pretty much anybody. All right. I feel like I'll side... Hey, they pitched a shutout this weekend. I think it goes down as a 2-0 win over TCU. I think... Push comes to shove right now, given Rory Harmon's injury, I think Kansas State probably the best team in the Big 12. They don't force a ton of turnovers. They play hard half court defense. They have size in the middle. They don't foul. They have one of the best foul rates in the country. It's a little crazy to me. I thought this offense would be better than it is.
That's true.
Last year without Lee, they were one of the probably 10, 15 best offenses in the country. And I figured, you added her. You're going to be, I thought they'd be kind of like Iowa, where they would just score a bunch of points and not stop anyone. That kind of hasn't been the case.
Yeah, that's true.
Baylor. You were right.
Week for Baylor.
The fall from grace. I liked Baylor in the preseason. I liked Baylor last week, despite the blowout loss at Kansas. And again, the 3-point loss at Iowa State. I don't want to overreact and act like Baylor's gonna miss the tournament or something stupid like that, but I just want him to show up Monday against Kansas State.
I think you start to get very concerned if they don't do that. They're still gonna make the tournament and whatever, but I think they're having a bit of a coming back to earth week here, in that they are not a top five team in the country right now, which, I mean, makes sense, right? Like, they didn't add that much from last year's team, which was like a, what, first weekend team? I think first weekend.
Yeah, they were,
teams.
What, a seventh
yeah.
team?
Yeah.
Also, what, UConn in the second round, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, hard draw, but still, yeah, it's a big jump for a team to make without that much addition.
The theme of the last 10 minutes has been they're not a top five team. We've said that about yeah. a lot of teams currently ranked in and around the top five and top 10. So I assume you have South Carolina there. Who else, like, do you consider right now a top five team? I don't care what their ranking says. I might.
UCLA, obviously. Sure. Yeah. UCLA is, I think, very clearly a top five team. Iowa, as much as it pains me to say it, is a top five team.
Hard, right? Like those,
yeah, it's hard.
Like, NC State
looks apart right now, but I'm not sold on it. Like, they look the part, but I'm not sold. Beyond that,
all right,
I don't really know.
We're gonna leave spaces 4 and 5 vacant. I will alert. Yeah. I think I know one voter of the AP poll. I'm sure you know a couple. Let them know. We're skipping teams 4 and 5. No one deserves it. What do you have any thoughts on this TCU thing? Like, I think it's weird. First of all, do you have eligibility?
Yeah.
They're taking walk-ons. Go.
Yeah.
Fly down to Fort Worth. Let's go.
It's weird. No, I think I asked someone the same question as, like, why does the UConn do this the other day? To be like, just have someone that you throw it in the fourth quarter when you're up 40 on random Big East teams, like, so they can rest their starters. I also think it's unfortunate the way the Big 12 has that rule set up, that they have to forfeit the games, because I think actually the exact same thing happened to UConn last year, where they only had 6 eligible player or healthy players at one point, and they were able to reschedule the games, which I think is a much better solution than the current situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's mid-January and it's 2 games. Like, I don't think it's unreasonable to ask teams right. to, hey, next week you'll play 3 games, and then once in February you'll play 3 games. Like, that's yeah. not an unreasonable ask, especially when first week of March, hey, you're going to have to play 3 or 4 games in as many days if you want to yeah. win the Big 12 tournament. And, I mean, we just moved games around like puzzle pieces for, what, like 2.5 years right. because of yeah. COVID? Like, we couldn't work around right. this.
Yeah.
Information has been limited. Like, this, it's weird. Obviously, Sedona Prince out indefinitely. Deja Turner had season-ending ankle surgery. Jaden Owens tore ACL on Saturday. So that's 3. Then they have 14 players. So, but and like, they haven't said anything, and they don't have to. Like, these are college kids. I get it. It's weird. Mm-hmm. That's all I got. It's weird. They're not the best team in the Big 12, kind of like Vanderbilt. Like, they didn't play anyone in the non-conference. And when right. you're coming off like an 8-win season, yeah, take your dubs, get them. But mm-hmm. right now, who is the best team in the Big 12?
I think it's Kansas State.
Oh, the look on your face when you said that.
I'm just like, I'm so not sold on them, but I think it is. Honestly, it might still be Texas. Like, I think Texas with Rory Harmon, we were talking about a team that we might see in the Final Four. Texas without Rory Harmon, I don't think is that, but they still might be the best team in the Big 12.
I'll go with that. Still the 5th best team in composite rankings on her yeah. hoop stats, which that obviously includes the games that they won with Rory yeah. Harmon. So they're probably yeah. a step or two below that. But yeah, I think everyone was quick to just assume Texas was just going to kind of fall off in the losses. Again, that was that K-State game? That was in Manhattan, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like sure. a 6-point loss at home to Baylor. I think that was right after Harmon's injury, wasn't it?
Yeah, so they, like, I expect it's going to take some time. To
right, you're going to try to figure it out. And then a 3-point loss at K-State. Yeah, I was ready to say K-State. Mm-hmm. You might have convinced me that it's Texas still.
Yeah, I didn't watch that K-State game, but I watched them play Kansas this week, and I was pretty impressed with what they did in that game against a Kansas team that's probably going to miss the tournament. But they're not bad. Like, they're decent. And we're they were able to just kind of smother them without Rory Hartman. I thought that was impressive.
Yeah, that game wasn't close. The other Wednesday game that, if it weren't you, I probably wouldn't mention it, but your beloved Villanova Wildcats.
Making a little noise.
Give them their flowers. Go ahead. They beat an okay, you know, decent Marquette team. Top 25 win. Resume building win.
Yeah, I think they're making some case to be on the bubble. I don't think I quite have them there yet, but they're a team that can play their way in. I just think that Lucie also made some more national hype. That's mostly where I think this Villanova team is getting missed. Like, yeah, they're not that great this year, but Lucie also has just been fantastic. I think she's seventh in the country in scoring right now, and like no one's talking about how good she is.
Villanova, they're like, they're clearly like your second favorite team, right?
Yeah.
You loved Maddie Seacrest last year.
I did love Maddie. Miss watching Maddie play college basketball.
So this, you said Villanova's not quite on the radar yet. By the way, the net rankings are updated. Oh, Miami went from 44 to 42. Obviously, again, one game isn't, especially in mid-January, isn't going to vault you
right
up too much. You can vault down a lot, right, if you take like a really bad loss. Mm-hmm. I say that. LSU. Yeah, LSU. They had to have been top 10 in the net before last week.
They
right?
were. Yeah, they were.
They dropped to 18. Now they're 14. Anyway, so yeah, Villanova is 46th in the net. So yeah, they still have work to do.
Yeah, work to do, but they're starting to get in the bubble territory.
They play UConn what, twice? They probably get Creighton and Marquette again. Oh, let me look.
Yeah.
They get Creighton. Hey, look, they get Creighton on Sunday. they head to Marquette and then they close with at Creighton, at UConn, and then host DePaul. Yeah. Hopefully they're not in a situation where they need to win all three of those games, because they should win two. Mm-hmm. Could win two. Probably won't win all three. Give me some teams right now that aren't ranked, or maybe they're ranked 23rd, 24th, 25th, whatever, that you think could make some noise. Pull up your bracketology if you feel like it. Not like Final Four good, but pulls an upset in the second round, makes a Sweet 16. Think, you know, Ole Miss last year, Miami last year.
Yeah. Couple teams. One that is ranked, but because they're mid-major, I feel like they're not necessarily getting the attention. In Gonzaga, I think Gonzaga's been really good this year. They've got that win over Stanford from earlier, just kind of cruising in conference play right now. My one concern with them is just like, you don't play anyone for months and months. No offense to the WCC, but you don't play anyone for months and months, and then you have to come into tournament play. And I think that's a hard thing to do. So like a team like Nova last year, at least playing the Big East, you're playing Creighton, you're playing Marquette, you're playing UConn, you're playing St. John's. Those were all tournament teams last year. They're not playing a single tournament team until they get to the tournament, pretty much.
Could they?
They could host, I think. I think they're definitely part of that conversation. If they went out, they could host. Their only losses to Washington State and to Louisville, neither of those are bad losses. A win over Stanford, a win over Cal, that looks a lot better than I thought a win over Cal might have looked. A win over South Dakota State, a win over Arizona. That's three Pac-12 wins. They're probably going to have more Pac-12 wins than like Oregon.
Well, Oregon has two. They back to back win.
I lied. Oh, sorry. Okay, I lied. And then Arizona State.
You're right. So the ball's great for Oregon, though. You're yeah. right.
It's bad.
let's see. Santa Clara is 73 in the net, and boy, I'm scrolling a ways. So Portland at 108. Yeah, I get your point of can you just
turn it on with some large. Yeah.
Right. If you're going to run into, you know, if you're in a 4-5 matchup and the four is what's going to be a power conference team who's played, doesn't matter the conference, like they've played a bunch of good teams. Can you just be prepared for that?
Yeah.
Give us your bracketology methodology. So this is the first year that you've like blown it out, mm-hmm. RIP to the tiny whiteboard. So like how do you go about it? there aren't that many people who do it, and we don't get a chance to talk to many people who do it. So, like, obviously you make a preseason one, but do you, like, throw that out because you're just kind of going off of predictive measures? Like, give us inside baseball here.
I pretty much threw out the preseason one and, like, started from scratch when I did the first of the season. And then it gets a lot easier, I think, once you have the net. Like, without the net, it's really, I think, difficult. It's kind of, you're just throwing teams on there and making a guess because, like, the net is such a big part of it. It's not all of it, but it's a big part of it. Like, a team that looks like it has a good resume that has, like, a 68th net is not making the field. So now kind of the approach is I start always with the auto qualifiers. What we're doing for that is I'm going by the team with the best her hoop sets rating being the auto qualifier from each conference. I think the ESPN does like the team that has the best conference record. Just feel like sometimes that's not always the best indicator of who's the best, especially early in conference play. So going with her hoop sets ratings on that. And then from there, I kind of, now that I have like have a bracket, I go through and take notes on like what each team in the bracket has done over the last week, last 2 weeks, how I think they should move. And then from there, kind of start reseeding everyone. And then the teams that come out, I then look at who's the next set of teams that should be coming in for these teams that are you already sitting at 10, 11, and then you're like, oh, they lost this game this week. Okay, they got to come out of the field.
You have a giant whiteboard now, right? Like a dry erase board?
I do have a giant whiteboard. I do most of it in a spreadsheet. Honestly, I use the giant whiteboard just to do the bracketing portion afterwards.
If I use the whiteboard, I would definitely erase, like, oh, I want to move Notre Dame from a 4 to a 5, and I'd erase them, and then, like, it would just be gone from my mind, and I'd be like, yeah, this is great, and then someone would point out, hey, moron, where's Notre Dame?
Checks in my spreadsheet that's like, what's the highest net team that's like not in the field to make sure that I don't do something like that and accidentally like go to boo someone and just forget to put them back in.
So again, to not overreact to one game, every situation is different. If a team like LSU loses to Auburn, like, is that a 1 seed line loss? Is it like 2 seed line loss? I don't know if those exist in conference play per se, or if a team like Miami wins, can they go from like next 4 out to last 4 in? Can you make that big a jump on one game?
Yeah, I think you can jump a seed line on one game still. I think we're still at that. Beyond that, I don't really think that you're going to drop more than one. Like the case with LSU, if they drop 2, it would be less about just their loss, and it'd be like, okay, they lost, so they're dropping, but then did someone else pick up like 2 really good wins and then are moving ahead of them? So it's not like in a silo, but I think like, especially as you get closer and closer to March, I think one of the biggest things people don't realize with bracketology is like one game kind of means so little by the time you get to March. So there is definitely some like recency to it, and like the committee rewards like strong performances in like a conference tournament, but you're not going to like drop 2 seed lines because you lose a game in your conference tournament either.
Yeah, but if you do, those get the clicks. Come on, Megan. Be viral on the internet. Let's go. that was good stuff. Leads us to another loaded weekend. I mean, we're going to say this every week. The Pac-12 gauntlet continues. Yeah. The LA schools, if you didn't know, the Pac-12 for a few more weeks does travel pairs. So the LA schools go to the mountain schools. So UCLA and USC will play Colorado and Utah. It starts with Buffs and Bruins in Boulder, and then Utes and Trojans tonight in Salt Lake City. What do you think of this Bruins Buffs matchup?
I think it's going to be interesting. I'm excited for it. I think you want to obviously see UCLA, rebound from that loss at USC and try to get the win. But I also just think this should be a fun matchup. Hopefully Lauren Betts is back and healthy. I'm assuming she is. I think for Colorado, you're looking for them to do something similar to what they tried to do against Stanford, like keep them out of the paint. That's a recipe for them to kind of get the – well, I guess it's technically not considered an upset if they win because they are ranked higher than and UCLA. I would still call it an upset if they beat them, but
I don't know where to find spreads. Got to hit up Dan Omataya, but yeah, there's no line. So yeah, it might not be an upset, but continue.
Yeah, so I think that, and then UCLA, I think you're just looking to get back in the win column. I think this is going to be a good one, though, in general. Like, I think this is much watched TV for everyone that has access to the Pac-12 network in some way.
I don't know if this is a spread of sorts. Her Hoop Stats has this as a plus five margin. Let me translate this. I believe they essentially, for all intents and purposes, have UCLA as like a half point favorite. It's basically a pick 'em. So it should be a good game. USC, I think that could be lower scoring. I think Utah USC, that game will probably live in the 70s, maybe the 80s. That one could be fun.
Yeah, I feel like it's just a lot of star power. You got Pele, you got Juju. Yeah. That's going to be fun. Also, going back to your question on like teams that could make a second weekend that are unranked, like anyone in the middle of the Pac-12 with this, like the way they play, they're just so used to it come the tournament. They play Friday, Sunday against two tournament caliber, sometimes like Final Four caliber teams. So they're
that's fair. So you're looking at
prepared. Your Washington States, your Oregon States, even Utah, I think is less of a, you know, shocker there, but.
Yeah, let's see. Who's out? Arizona State sub 500. They ain't making it. Oregon had some bad non-conference losses. They're not going to make it. Oregon State is 14-2. Are they? I don't blindly. Have they played anybody?
They haven't really played anyone, but they're in the game.
Cool. And then Washington and Washington State both sitting there at 1-3.
Mm-hmm.
Washington's lost four in a row.
Yeah. Washington State, I think, is the better of the two. They're pretty high in the net still, but. We'll see what happens with Pac-12 play for them. Arizona, I think, has had a decent start to conference play. So those teams are teams I would not want to see come March. They're just going to have been through this gauntlet of Pac-12 play. They're going to be ready for the tournament.
You're watching Stanford, Oregon at 10 p.m.?
No, I haven't mentioned. Wow. Oregon isn't doing it enough for me to stay up that late for a basketball game.
You only have like six more weeks of this.
I know. I might watch like the first half.
All right.
That game will likely be over after the first half.
Tomorrow's games don't do anything for me. There's no ranked on ranked matchups. Cool. Kansas State, Kansas, maybe. But Sunday, can't say the same. We've gone the entire show. We haven't mentioned anyone in the Big Ten. We haven't talked about Iowa. Annihilated. Indiana. Last weekend, they have Ohio State on Sunday. They go to Value City Arena. Buckeyes, they got it done against Maryland. I wasn't overly impressed again on whatever day it was, Wednesday. I thought the Big Ten would be more intriguing. And I guess if Ohio State wins, it is intriguing. I just don't see it.
I don't see it either. I'm like, I was gonna lose a Big Ten game at some point, right? So like, why not on the road at Ohio State? But
yeah, I mean, they almost lost to Michigan State at home. Like, yeah. Again, they're not so unbeatable that they're not gonna slip up. But
they're still very clearly the best team in this conference, and it's not close.
It seems like, you know, Ohio State's gonna have to force 20 turnovers, and Iowa isn't so careful with the basketball that that's not possible. But like the method is to outscore them, and if you're going to go into a game against Iowa trying to outscore them, like that, I don't see that working. Louisville, North Carolina, that suddenly looks a lot more. It always looked intriguing, but a lot more than it did last night.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that will go. I mean, I think that's whoever wins top of the ACC right now. I think it's a good. Like we mentioned, like Louisville hasn't quite really played anyone in the ACC yet, so that should be a fun game.
We mentioned, if you're looking for something a little off the beaten path, we mentioned Tennessee Vanderbilt. Vols are 36-1 all time at home against Vandy. They might be 36-2. I think
Tennessee is going to win it, but I think it could be a good game.
That would be like we just talked bracketology. Wouldn't be such a, you know, wouldn't be an earth shattering win. Could it be a loss that comes back to bite you? in March for two teams that are on the bubble that could use just a little push against, you know, top quad one win. Do we use quad ones on the women's side? I never seen
them. They don't technically use quads. They just look at like top 25, top 50 wins. I don't understand why they don't use quads, quite frankly.
But like,
it's frustrating to me. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think, you know, whoever wins, they're not going to say, oh my God, Vanderbilt beat Tennessee. Oh my God, Tennessee beat Vanderbilt. But come March, it's like, I wish we had beaten this top 50 team.
Yeah. I agree from a bracketology standpoint. I would say for like Vandy, I think it's just a statement win in the name. Like if you beat Tennessee, like,
sure,
that's something. Regardless of how good this Tennessee team is or isn't, I think that's gonna say something.
I mean, that says something. Yeah. There's only three teams you can say that about. Where I don't care how good or bad South Carolina is, they've earned that company. Obviously, UConn's there. Doesn't matter that Tennessee hasn't done anything in 15 years. They're Tennessee. The win, especially in that state, Vanderbilt beating Tennessee always matters. Monday, Baylor, K-State. We talked about this a little earlier. I lean K-State, two kind of similarly profiled teams. I think whoever gets more rebounds will win, and I think K-State will get more rebounds. And that's my 5-second summary.
Yeah, it's going to be three losses in 2 weeks for Baylor. It's going to be a rough fall from grace, but yeah, I kind of believe the same way.
And then it's going to get a lot of hype, and it deserves to. Not, you know, didn't get nearly the hype of USC and UCLA or any, doesn't get the hype of the Pac-12 games that we've talked about last week and coming up tonight and Sunday. But USC. Well, technically, yes, USC, yeah. South Carolina, and LSU play on Thursday. First ESPN game day of the year, which is on a Thursday, so it tells you, you know, how much people are going to watch. Two of the most high-profile coaches in the country, two of the, you know, well, I guess South Carolina don't have that high-profile player this year.
I guess Cardoso, but, like, yeah, it's not the same.
Either way, it's South Carolina and LSU. It's going to get a lot of hype. I personally, the game's in Baton Rouge. Last year, it's not going to be, 18-2 out of the gates like it was last year. I just don't see with the way LSU's playing right now. Famous last words. I think South Carolina wins comfortably in the probably 10-12 point range.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think this is where they slip up. I wouldn't be surprised if they drop one at some point. Honestly, it might be better for them if they drop one at some point. It's just that don't have it be in the tournament type thing. I don't know. Like, sometimes it's good to have that reality check beforehand,
When's the last time South Carolina lost a big regular season game?
Exactly.
Because when they've lost the last couple of years, like they slipped up at Mizzou a couple of years ago in overtime.
Yeah, I think it was that Paige Becker shot in like the COVID year in like the empty Gamble Pavilion where she like bounced in the three.
Yeah, they lost that game in overtime. Then they lost to Tennessee, a ranked Tennessee team, a couple of weeks later. But then they lost at... Remember when Texas A&M was a top five team? They're on their way back, but boy, that seems like a long time ago. But yeah, the moral of the story is South Carolina gets up for the games that they need to get up for.
Exactly. I'd be more expect if they're going to lose at some point in the regular season, it's going to be like a team like Vandy or something that's going to come in and like get the win and shock them, but it's not going to be this LSU rivalry game. It's not going to be when UConn comes to town. Like, they're going to be up for those games.
Well, we'll talk about it next Friday because that game is next Thursday down in Baton Rouge. Megan has a real person job. Don't know what that's like. So she has to run. Plug your stuff. When we get in the next bracketology update, you showing up in Washington Post, anything like that coming up?
Yeah, bracketology update probably late Monday night, Tuesday morning. Monday's a nice day. There's usually not many games on Monday, so it makes it a little easier to update. You don't have to try to adjust for what's currently happening. I don't know when the next Washington Post thing is coming, but if you missed it, I talked about which teams kind of are in that conversation for a one seed. It's all linked on my Twitter. You can find it there. So check that out.
At Megan Gauer, G-A-U-E-R. Give her a follow. Subscribe to her Hoop Stats. Rate, subscribe, listen to all this. That's the stuff. Megan, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, you too.